It might come as a surprise to learn that the book of Proverbs has a lot to say on the subject of friendship. And yet, when we think about the purpose of the book, we shouldn't really be surprised by that. Proverbs was written to make us wise for life, and there's no doubt that whether we have friends at all, or whether we have good friends or not, will have a massive impact on the type of person that we are and the kind of life that we live. And Proverbs calls on us to live intimately connected lives and to give and receive in that context. So our task in this study is again to identify the major strands in the book's teaching on the subject of friendship. And as a support in that task, I am going to enlist an honest and challenging little book by Vaughan Roberts called True Friendship. And this book is actually, it's not expensive, and it's worth the money for his chapter headings alone. True friendship is crucial, close, constant, candid, careful, and here's this pièce de résistance, it is Christ-centered. He got two C's in for his last one. And a lot of what he says in this little book is based on the book of Proverbs. So let's begin by defining our terms. The Hebrew word that is used most frequently for friend is actually a very broad term, and its meaning ranges all the way from neighbor, as it's translated, at one end of the spectrum, all the way to where it clearly intimates intimate friend. And the translator then is guided by the surrounding context as to whether it should be translated as neighbor or friend. And we'll be encountering plenty of examples of that in our study. The important thing to note is that Proverbs instructs us to be both a good neighbor, this is living wisely, be a good neighbor and a good friend. Now, each of those relationships operates at a different level of intimacy. And Proverbs provides tailored instruction for each. So let's think first of all about Proverbs' instruction on good neighborliness. And I'll make four brief points here. Number one, don't be a nasty neighbor. Chapter 3, verse 29. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Now, you might find that it's almost insulting that this needs to be said. But Proverbs outlines various ways in which we can act in harmful ways towards our neighbor. Telling lies, bearing false witness, spreading rumor, entertaining gossip, they are all itemized as ways in which we injure our neighbor. And all such activity must be rejected by all who would travel along the path of wisdom through life. Don't be a nasty neighbor. Secondly, don't be the pain next door. I love how practical the wisdom of Proverbs is. 25 verse 17, Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. In other words, respect your neighbor's privacy and boundaries. And have a bit of tact and considerateness. 27 verse 14. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Can I give you a modern translation of that? Don't be that crazy Christian next door who just doesn't take into account where his neighbor is at in life. Don't be a nasty neighbor. Don't be the pain next door. More positively, be kind and generous. He who despises his neighbor's sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. 14 verse 21. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you have it now with you. Chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. But notice, please, the discernment that must accompany any such act of generosity to our neighbor. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. What that is instructing us is that this call to kindness, to neighborly kindness, must not be confused with foolishness, which exposes us to disaster. But we're to be kind and generous. Fourthly, be gracious and forgiving. Now, perhaps one of the most misunderstood proverbs of all comes in chapter 25, verse 21 and 22. And forgive me for spending a little bit of time on this, but it reads as follows. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will repay you. Now, let me say immediately, there's nothing confusing about what we're called to do. We are called to meet our enemies' need. We're to give them food and water. The confusion comes with the result that we are securing and the motivation that lies behind our kindness, which we are showing. We are told that by being gracious and forgiving, we are thereby heaping burning coals on our enemy's head. What does that mean? Well, I suppose, you know, we should note immediately that the text points us in a certain direction, for it continues to say that by doing this, the Lord will reward us. The Lord will reward you for your gracious actions. So how does that fit, even within Proverbs itself, how does that fit with us thinking that we are heaping additional judgment upon our enemy? Now, you may be aware that the Apostle Paul quotes these verses in Romans chapter 12, where he is explaining what a life of submission and gratitude to God looks like. So let's read Romans 12, 17 to 21, because obviously Paul is going to be quoting these verses. But let's see them in context. Romans 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. For me, any confusion surrounding the metaphor of heaping burning coals on our enemy's head is cleared up when you discover that there was a popular ancient Egyptian story at this time of a thief who returned a book of magic that he had stolen from a grave. And in the story, the thief demonstrated his attitude of shame and remorse and repentance by carrying a basin of fiery coals on his head. It symbolized his acknowledgement of the wrongness of his actions in stealing. Proverbs never calls on anyone to pursue personal revenge, but to defer all judgment to God. Chapter 20, verse 22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. And references in the book of Psalms, for example, Psalm 140, verse 10, which talks about the Lord raining down burning coals upon the wicked. They are descriptions of judgment actually falling on the wicked. But the gracious actions of meeting an enemy's need through giving him food and water in Proverbs 25, 21, and 22, they are designed to bring the offender to the symbolic act of putting burning coals on his head, lest one day he should experience the reality of what that metaphor points to. We give our enemy cause and room to repent of his wrongdoing. And as Proverbs says, the Lord promises to reward us for such gracious behavior towards our enemy. That's a little bit about good neighborliness. What about Proverbs' instruction on true friendship? Oh, there are three themes that run through good friendship in the book of Proverbs and how we can secure this in our lives as we live wisely. First thing I would say is this, that Proverbs would say is this, be selective. Let me repeat what I said at the start of this study. The book of Proverbs places great importance on the role that friends play in the life of the wise. It is because of our friends' potential for good or ill that Proverbs advises caution in who we journey through life with. 12:26. A righteous man, and that's a wise man, remember, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads him astray. And quality is more important than quantity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. 18:24. Now, I understand that it is fashionable in Christian circles to ascribe that role to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sticks closer than a brother. And of course, in one sense, we are right to do that. But I assure you that what is intended by that proverb is that we have certain individuals present in our lives with whom we do life together. Our spiritual friendship with Christ does not negate the necessity of flesh and blood friendships with our peers. So choose wisely who you cultivate a close and meaningful friendship with. Take great care in who you grow close to. Here's why. 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Or if you want the same truth expressed negatively, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. 22:24-25. And it really is very simple. If you want to become wise, then surround yourself with those who are wise. Cultivate their company. Invest in their friendship. If you surround yourself with those who cannot control themselves, you will end up not controlling yourself either and will get caught up in their mess. How often do we see this writ large over lives? Be selective in your friendships. Number two, be loyal. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. 17:7. Sometimes, as in this proverb, it will liken the love of a friend to that of a brother. As with the one I quoted previously, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother even. It is possible that the relationship that you develop with a friend may even surpass that which is enjoyed with a brother. The practicalities of life may mean that a brother is not in a position to help in a crisis situation, and you will need friends nearby. 27:10. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes. Better a neighbor, a friend nearby, than a brother far away. Make sure your support arrangements in life are diversified. Do not be exclusively dependent on your partner or your kin. Very, very important for those who are in a happy marriage. My wife's my best friend, that's fine. My only friend. I've got to come from a family. Proverbs says no. Go wider than that. And of course, none of these meaningful friendships will happen by accident. They will require intentional and long-term investment. There is no shortcut to intimacy. It was Aristotle who said, the desire for friendship comes quickly. Friendship does not. And Proverbs warns of the dangers of fair weather friends. When difficulty and hardship come into your life, have you developed friends who will remain loyal? And an even better question to ask is, will we remain loyal to our friends when they hit hard times? The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. 14 verse 20. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friends desert him. 19 verse 4. Many curry favor with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. 19 verse 6. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives, how much more do his friends avoid him? 19 verse 7. A true friendship is one that we give ourselves to irrespective of the fortunes of our friend. The way to have good friends is to be a good friend. The guidance of Proverbs is be the friend you want to have. Be selective, be loyal, and finally, be honest. True friends are not those who say what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. We are in deep trouble if the friends that we gather around us are nothing more than echo machines. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, 27:17. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses, 27 verse 5 to 6. Oscar Wilde, in his legendary wit, put it like this. A true friend stabs you in the front. And I would add this, a true friend's wounds are never fatal. Do you have people in your life who love you so much that they will speak truth to you even when you don't want to hear it? You're blessed if you do. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. 27 verse 9. He who rebukes a man will, in the end, gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. 28 verse 23. True friendships will stretch us. I think Gordon MacDonald is very insightful in this. And just think how this resonates with culture today, where you just surround yourself with people who just reaffirm everything that you want in your life. Listen to this. There is a certain niceness to a friendship where I can be, as they say, myself. But what I really need are relationships in which I will be encouraged to become better than myself. Myself needs to grow a little each day. I don't want to be the myself I was yesterday. I want to be the myself that is developing each day to be more of a Christ-like person. In the final analysis, the best friends of all are those who are more concerned for my holiness than for my happiness. Do we want friends who will simply rubber stamp our lives, or friends who will travel with us on our journey into increasing Christ-likeness? Proverbs is a deeply practical book. Its wisdom is timeless. If we heed its instruction, we will be good neighbors and we will make good friends. And that will aid us both to reach out and to reach maturity. And you know, we've been left in this world to do both those things, to reach out and to reach maturity. May God grant it in our lives.